Welcome to Deeper Dive. I'm your host, Dawn. And yes, I'm solo again today. Poor Joe. We have to keep him in prayer. Dental work is no joke. So let's just keep him in prayer during this time. If you have any questions, you can text them to 954-388-8780. You can also put them on WhatsApp. You also can put them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, any of the social media platforms. So today we have our own Pastor Joe. Good morning, Pastor Joe. How are you?
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for having me. I'm doing well.
Good. How was your holiday?
Well, my holiday was a short holiday.
I know, right?
and it was full of things.
Good.
But not too many people around. So,
I know,
it was
right?
A little weird.
I know, it's weird. I know. Yeah. That's true. Before we get into anything, Pastor, let's just pray. Loving Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity just to talk about your word, talk about you, talk about the amazing things that you do for us. And as we dive a little deeper into Pastor Joe's sermon, I ask that you just open our hearts and our minds so we would truly understand the commission that you've given us, the things that you want us to do, so we can truly be close to you. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Pastor. So my question for you this morning, community question, is Pastor Nugent is gone now, and it's just you and Pastor Jen. So how is that working for you? And secondly, when are we going to see a new pastor, youth pastor, coming to Plantation?
Well, thank you for that question. Things have not changed radically because when Pastor Andrew left, we knew it was going to be a short transition. Mm-hmm. So we didn't really have to rearrange too many things.
Okay.
Of course, as the lead pastor, I had to make myself available to the people that usually report to Pastor Andrew.
Okay.
But it didn't bring much more work to my plate. And given the fact that we already have some promising word from the conference, it is not going to expect too much of a rearranging of the current structure or process in our leadership.
Okay.
So right now, we are at the point where the conference is going to meet with the leadership. So by the time this podcast will go out, the meeting should have happened.
Okay.
And by God's grace, if everything goes well, at the beginning of the new year, the new minister should be on starting the new segment of his life. And of course, that's going to be a new segment for us.
Yeah,
the pastoral team, and also the leadership, the ministry team of the church.
Right. Wonderful. Okay. We'll be looking forward to hearing who that person will be.
Absolutely. I can't say more now, but you will hear things quickly.
All right. Very good. All right. So we are on podcast 85, episode 4 of your series, Good versus Bad. And the title of your sermon was Have a Heart and Do Your Part. Did you just think of that title just because it was Thanksgiving?
Yes. I like that title because it rhymes. and it really captures the message of the two Bible verses I used as a foundation for my sermon.
Okay.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, and then verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2 is about bearing or carrying one another's burden.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the have a heart part comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
And then verse 5 is about bearing or carrying your own load or portion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the do your part happens.
Okay. So let me break it down a little bit. You talked about the load. We all have a load. Why do you think God would give us a load? Why do we need to carry a load? If Jesus takes our load for us, why do we need to carry it? What's important about doing that?
Well, a load, especially in the context of verse 5 in Galatians chapter 6, is not a word of negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
It's the portion. Mm-hmm. It's your portion that you can carry, that you have to carry.
Mm-hmm.
And to compare it to something physical and tangible,
mm-hmm.
if your muscle is not developed because you don't carry a load,
mm-hmm.
or you don't do any effort, then you will atrophiate, and on the long run, mm-hmm. you will incur difficulties,
yep.
that will make life really hard to you.
Right.
On the other hand, if you use your muscles, they will become tonified,
mm.
and you will become stronger and stronger,
mm.
and life will be much easier to handle. So in that sense, the load is not a negative connotation. The burden can be easily perceived as something negative. Nevertheless, Jesus Christ says, come to me,
mm.
those that are heavy laden,
mm.
because I can give you rest, I can give you peace, and I will then give you my load or my burden,
mm.
and my yoke,
mm.
which is a totally different reality. So the burden of life, which in that Bible verse, Galatians chapter 6 verse 2,
mm.
is depicted in a very interesting way using the word baros in the Greek, mm. that can also mean pressure. Those most of the time are first perceived as negative things, mm-hmm. as things that mm-hmm. come and hit us unexpectedly.
Okay.
Things that we were not created for. In okay. my illustration, you're the ship from God's shipyard, right. that was not built,
right.
for the burden.
Right.
It was built for a load.
A load, right.
And yet life happens, and sometimes you find yourself in a situation where a heavy burden,
mm.
is put on your ship.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you look carefully, you will see that even with the burden, because God is able to transform things that are perceived as negative into positive things,
mm-hmm.
even the burden can be a blessing.
So how do you identify what a load is? What is an example of a load?
Now, that's a very, very good question. For instance, if you are a father,
mm-hmm.
of a family,
mm-hmm.
normally your family, taking care of your family, providing for your family, mm-hmm. that's your load as a father.
Okay. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But then if you're hit by a sickness,
mm.
or if you lose your job,
mm.
right, then the load you already carry may be doubled by the problem you're facing now, because your health gives you an extra load.
Yeah.
Your health situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or just because you lost your job, you cannot make ends meet.
Yes.
And that's a burden. So mm. normally, you should be joyful and happy carrying your load.
Right.
Is providing for a family a load? Absolutely.
Okay.
Is that a burden? It shouldn't be, normally.
Mm.
But then life happens in the context of the battle between good and evil. And sometimes you find yourself under a heavy burden. And the things that did not used to be a burden, they can seem to be now a burden too.
So what happens to someone who's a single parent? A woman who's a single parent, is that now her load? Does that now become her though, because she's not married?
Well, that's a very, very good question and a very real life question.
Yeah.
Because normally, right, in the context of an ideal picture of family,
right,
the load of a family should be carried by both parents.
Exactly.
But then if one of them is out of the equation, then what?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I believe the first stage or first phase of that new reality, and somebody loses his or her spouse,
right,
or goes through a divorce, mm-hmm, right, the first phase of that is really a burden.
Yeah.
And I believe as a church or as family to our family, we should be aware of that, and we should come close to those people, draw near, and help them carry the burden. Now, with time, it may be that God strengthens somebody and enables that vessel, that ship, to carry now the full load of that family, even in that somewhat imperfect situation.
Right, 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 right.
But it definitely is a burden at some points in life. But and that's where God's commandment comes in, where he says, hey, carry one another's burden. And again, it's not about taking it over. Okay, let me carry it for you. No. It is go and share the load. At least until the person now is strengthened to the level where he or she can carry it on his or her own.
Is family life a load or is it a burden?
It depends.
What does it depend upon?
I believe in a normal context, it is a load. If everything works well in the family,
okay,
then it definitely is a load, is a portion.
Okay.
It's the portion of the wife to be the wife and the mother if there are children.
Right.
Is the portion of the husband to be a husband and the father.
Right.
And of course, there are some other parts of the portion as well, because in the same time, you can also be a brother to somebody, right, in the larger family context.
Yes.
Or a child to a parent. And all those incur some responsibility aspects.
Yeah.
And solidarity aspects that are really important. Mm-hmm. But then, again, a family context can be messed up, so to speak, by external or internal factors.
Yes.
In my sermon, I said it's the enemy that puts the burden, either by angels or humans.
Yes.
Or by your internal enemy, your I enemy. That sometimes simply throws reality off.
Yeah.
So in that case, family is a burden. But I would not call the family by definition a burden. It is a load. It's a portion.
Portion.
And it's a blessing. Mm-hmm. It's a blessed portion, if you want.
Do you think that young people, if we look at teenagers or we look at even the younger ones, do they have their own load to carry?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I emphasize in my sermon the role of the parents. Because if a child does not learn how to carry a load in his or her youth, by the way, there's a Bible verse that talks about that, saying that it's good for a child to carry a yoke in his or her youth.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't happen with a child, if the parent is not able or not intentional about developing the skills and the attitude, maybe the attitude first and then the skill of carrying a load, that person, that human being will grow up and he or she will become a huge burden to somebody.
Wow. Wow.
If we don't learn how to carry the load, the right portion, that by the nature of reality is our part to carry in our families,
right,
then yes, we will become a huge burden to somebody later on.
In life. So how, if a young person is listening to this podcast, what would you tell them their load would be in their family?
It's very hard to give a definition that applies to everybody because family dynamics are different.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And family specifics are different.
Okay.
For instance, if somebody is in a family where the parents are intellectual people, mm-hmm, and they work mostly intellectually,
mm-hmm,
the dynamics of the family may ask for some sort of portions from the children. But I think in a healthy family, in a well-functioning family, there should be some sort of clear guidelines as to what belongs to whom, when it comes to
responsibility,
to the load, to the portion, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a just normal day. On a normal day, you would have to do this and this and this. That's your portion.
Right.
And parents have to be careful not to put a burden on, right, the children.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's important for the child to be able to understand that, yes, he or she has to carry the load, the portion. But then if it's a portion that is too big for that person, that becomes a burden. Mm-hmm. And that's called abuse.
Yeah.
But I said, okay, this is maybe in the context of an intellectual family, mm-hmm, where you have some housework that you have to do, but not too much physical activity going on.
Mm.
When it comes to a family of farmers, then some more tangible things come into play, right? Because then you may have to go out on the field and do some practical things there.
Yeah.
Work in the field,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
as part of the load for your daily life.
Mm.
It depends if you are a student, if you are now a grown-up and you still live with your parents.
Mm-hmm.
And here I think we have a problem, a huge problem in America, from what I can hear.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a young person, I did not grow up here.
Right.
But from what I am hearing from parents in counseling sessions, you often have a young person that stays with the parents and refuses to carry the load.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Or perceives the load, which would be a just and right load for that human being,
mm-hmm,
as being a burden. Mm-hmm. And then that's another very tricky issue.
That
you
is
know?
Tricky. Yes.
Even with younger children,
yeah,
you cannot say anything to this child. And that's where education, again, comes into play. And it's a challenge to the parents how you will be able to educate your child to be happy about the load, to not perceive that load as being a burden.
Burden. I think that is a challenge. I know talking amongst parents, when you try to say, okay, this is your job. Why do I have to do that? Why can't that one do it? I'm tired.
Yeah.
You know, that's the constant thing. But I've realized that because I have older children now, even though we had taught them when they were younger, and yes, they complained, they now went out. And as they went out, now you start to see, well, they automatically understand that, yes, this is what I have to do. This is how we have to live. This is what we have to get done, because those things are important.
Yes, I believe, connecting it to what you are saying, I believe even if the child at one point would rebel against the assignment,
Yes.
That the parent makes and will say, nah, I don't want to carry this. This is too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
Later, when you get out there and you start sensing life at its best, and you will see that life is very unforgiving and very merciless with regard to your portion.
Yes, it is.
If you get into corporate America and you refuse to do your portion, you will feel it.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's called work ethics. Right? To have the right work ethic, to be able to value work.
Yes. Yes.
To see yourself as a responsible human being who at the same time shows solidarity with those that are really under the heavy burden prepares you for life.
Yes, yes.
And my point in my sermon was, at least that's what I tried to convey, is that if you want to be a happy human being, if you want to be able to be thankful, you have to keep these two things in balance, responsibility and solidarity. And this is under the umbrella of proportionality. Everything in proportion to.
Yes.
Right? And if you do that, you will really be thankful because one, you will be able to carry your load. And you will be happy for that. And you will thank God for the load he placed on your ship. And you will be able to carry the burden of others. Show solidarity. And you will be happy and thank God for enabling you to draw near and help out somebody that was almost sinking on the ocean of life.
Okay, so let's draw it home to church now. And we talk about burdens. We look at the church as being a hospital, and we come there to have God help us to deal with our burdens. And we have other people that will know what our burdens are. How do we know what is appropriate for us to do for that person without that person taking advantage?
Yeah, very, very good question. And I would start with pointing out that quite often, before somebody could take advantage of the church, the church can come across to somebody as being the entity that wants to take advantage.
That's true.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, let me make it more specific. Somebody comes to the church, right? Well, I'm speaking in a non-COVID
environment,
context, right? Where people come to the church.
Yeah.
And we hope that pretty soon we will also be able to open up our church and have the people back.
Right.
But somebody comes to the church and that person is burdened. Quite often people come to the church because they are burdened.
Right.
And they need to put that burden down.
Right.
They need somebody to lift that burden. They need Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Jesus Christ works by people or through people, with people.
Yeah.
So that the person that is burdened, carrying the heavy burden, comes to the church. You can almost see how that person is dragging something.
Right.
That's where I use the illustration of the sledgehammer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're dragging that huge sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to that person and tell that person, hey, listen, I believe you should be doing this or that or the other. And that's wrong. That's wrong because now the person that carries the burden is still heavy laden. And now you come and it sounds like you want to put an extra load on it.
Exactly.
So how is that going to work? Why would you be surprised if somebody just disappears? and will say, okay, so I'm going to go to a psychologist or a counselor or somebody else to get my burden off. Because nobody here really cares about my burden. All they care about is make me a ship that can carry merchandise from port A to port B. But they don't care about the fact that, I may take it off, take it on, but then I will sink. So then the first responsibility of the church is to make sure you have alleviated the burden of that person before you assign a portion to that person.
Okay, makes sense, makes sense.
And once you have brought that human being to the level where he or she can handle a portion, then you establish a portion.
Okay.
And that's a spiritual endeavor. Because then prayerfully, a discipleship committee should be thinking about it and deliberate about it. See what would be the right portion to that human being. Because here's the thing. If you have a small vessel and you assign a huge load for that vessel, for that ship, that load will bring that ship down.
Yep.
Right? On the other hand, and this is, I think, maybe even more tricky than the previous scenario. If you have a huge ship and then you put a little tiny load on that ship, you destabilize that ship. And people are not aware of this. When you have a person of huge abilities, of skills, that is very well known and seen in corporate America, say, and then that person comes to the church, and all he can do in the church is to collect the offering.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about collecting the offering.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
But and that person may be willing to volunteer to collect the offering.
Right.
No problem. But if you are kept year after year at a stage where all you can do is collect the offering, and in corporate America you are a CFO, something is wrong with that shipyard, you know? Because the wrong load is put on the wrong ship.
Okay.
So, it takes a lot of spiritual insight and willingness and know-how, human knowledge to see who's who and who can carry what.
So what about the person that knows that if I come to church, I know somebody's going to do this for me. So let me go to that church and find someone else to deal with this for me, because I'm going to church and I'm seeing, well, I tried over here and nobody did it for me. So let me come over here and find out if I can get someone just to deal with this for me. Cause I don't.
Yes. And I appreciate the clarification, because this ties into your previous question.
Yeah.
How do you avoid somebody taking advantage?
Right.
Because people come with loads, with needs.
Yes.
Right. And they look for somebody to take that load off. And as a church, we are there to help those people.
Right.
But then at the same time, you have to be aware of the fact that people can become lazy. Okay. So it's a work that happens. Or it's a double reality that happens side by side. On one hand, you take the burden off. But at the same time, you start assigning the new responsibilities, the new portion to that human being.
Yeah.
Otherwise, and that's called a discipleship process.
Right.
Otherwise, you can easily run the risk for somebody to come and say, okay, yeah, I like this. I mean, this church is just for me. Yeah. They care of everything that I need. Yeah. They take all my load off.
Right.
I'm free, you know.
Yeah.
I can enjoy my life because my ship is empty.
Mm.
So let's do some crazy stuff. Right? When in fact, the point of spirituality, of Christian walk, or of doing the right thing on the ocean of life, using your ship the right way,
mm-hmm.
is once your burden is taken off, you should be enabled by God to take on your own load. And if somebody refuses to take on the load, of course, we have to treat everybody nice and merciful.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we have to pay attention, because you may end up being a church that enables people to take advantage.
Wow.
Okay. For instance, as a pastor, I receive phone calls from the same people regularly, asking for the same kind of help. And I know those are people that have made it a purpose of their life to take advantage of as many churches as they can.
Wow.
There are people like that.
Mm.
And then you want to help, and you help once or twice or three times. But once you can sense something is wrong here, you also have to apply what the Bible says. If somebody doesn't want to work, for instance, he or she shouldn't eat.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, responsibility and solidarity.
Yeah.
They go hand in hand.
So it's a very fine line.
Very fine. Very fine line. And the same fine line is in the family.
Yeah.
In the church family.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say even in a business context where spiritual or Christian values are implemented.
Yeah. So when we look at our ministries and we see that same people are taking on the same loads all the time, what are we supposed to do about that?
Well, see, ever since I came to Plantation, I constantly tell my leaders, especially my elders, guys, don't do what is not your load. Do what God assigned you to do.
Okay.
Don't try to take on somebody else's load. Unless it is a burden and you are popping in or hopping in to help.
Mm-hmm.
But that should be temporary.
Yes.
Right? And don't overload yourself with things that not even God would ask you to carry.
Okay.
Be aware of your abilities,
mm-hmm.
of the capacity of your vessel, if mm-hmm. you want so.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure the portion you take on really is your portion and you can do that portion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very challenging reality, even for the pastor. Because let me tell you something. People would have the pastor do all kind of crazy stuff. People have the impression the pastor or the pastors are ships that have measureless capacity.
Wow.
They can carry as much load as you can put on it. And that's not true. And I've been through situations in my own experience as a minister where I had to have the hard conversation with God and with people and tell them, guys, don't do this. Stop doing this, because otherwise my ship is going to sink.
Wow.
And that applies on a maybe smaller scale to every minister in the church, to leadership, elders, ministry leaders, associate ministry leaders, and every single Christian that does ministry. Because by definition, a Christian should be somebody that does ministry.
Does ministry, yeah.
But wisdom should be always taken from God to know where the line is.
Yeah.
And of course, sometimes because you want to carry the burden of somebody else, you yourself become so burdened that you can hardly take it. And then somebody else will have to help you carry your burden.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting dynamic of load and burden, mm-hmm. right? Portion mm-hmm. and pressure, portion and pressure. Mm-hmm. But that's what life is. Yeah. That's what Christianity is about. Jesus Christ was carrying his portion.
Yeah.
He is carrying even our burdens. Mm. Now, of course, he's capable of much more than us.
Right, right.
But at the same time, we follow him.
Mm.
And the same kind of dynamics should be visible in our lives as well.
Do you think that God allows us to have burdens so that we can get closer to him?
Yes. And I think the word allows is good. I would go a little further, and I would say that he purposefully
mm-hmm.
can create context mm-hmm. in which we will sense burdens
mm.
that prepare us for some sort of new realities. Mm. And somebody that has carried a burden will be more able to sympathize or empathize with the one that carries a burden.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow I believe if you have gone through hardship,
mm-hmm.
you can become more aware of the hardship that is going on around you.
Yep, that's very true. And so does that mean that we now start to minister to one another and carry each other's burdens because we know how that load is or how that burden is?
Ideally, yes.
Hmm.
Except for the situations where somebody would take advantage again. Right? Because there's no guarantee that if you were helped out in point A,
mm.
you will necessarily help out somebody in point B.
Wow.
And why? Because of the selfishness of the broken human nature.
Yeah.
We would like to enjoy it,
mm.
but we would not necessarily be aware of somebody else's need to enjoy it. But if somebody's a genuine follower of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
then if you've been through a divorce and you know how difficult that can be,
yeah.
then when you see somebody else going through a divorce, then you will be there for that human being. Or if you just lost your father, then you hear about somebody else that is going through the same experience,
mm-hmm.
you would be more capable of helping that human being carry the burden. But there's another very interesting element here that I have become aware after the death of my father, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
It also depends on where you are in your recovery process.
Mm.
Because if your father died yesterday and then somebody's father dies tomorrow, you may not be the right person to carry the burden of the person that gets that extra load tomorrow.
Yeah.
Why? Because you are not recovered from your own trauma.
Right, right.
And I found myself in very weird contexts where I almost felt like I had a split personality, being very eager to help somebody carry a burden, but then I had to realize I was not able to help that person carry that burden because I was still in pain because of the burden that I myself had to carry previously. And this is a very fine nuance. It's a lot of psychology and then knowing people again. There are limitations to the human being as to what you can and what you cannot do at a specific point in time.
Wow, fascinating.
At the same time, I saw something not long ago of somebody that had been going through some very difficult experiences with her own child. And then I saw this lady being there, carrying the burden with somebody else that was going through something of a similar nature. Not exactly the same, but similar. And I was surprised, almost shocked, to see the strength of this woman when it came to carrying the burden of somebody else. And I said, yeah, that means a lot of spiritual stamina. It means that there's a lot of maturity going on with that human being.
Wow. So what do you think is the essence of us being able to carry our load and still be able to help someone with their burden? What do you think the main factor is that we need to have?
I think the main factor is to allow Jesus Christ, come to me, he says, right? Those that are heavy laden. To allow Jesus Christ to create the context in which your burden can be alleviated, and then your ship can be reloaded with the right load.
Okay.
And this is an experience of a lifetime.
Yep.
You hardly, probably, if ever, could find somebody that will tell you very clearly, hey, now, right now, I'm only carrying my load. Because it's in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out.
Yeah.
But being aware of this dynamic of the two elements, your load and then the burden of others, helps you be aware of how life functions.
Yes.
And I think it can help you avoid a lot of frustration and bitterness that you can accumulate when you just don't understand. Okay, I would be able to do this, but now this.
Yes.
What am I going to do with this?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Pastor Joe, thank you very much for that. Very interesting.
Well, thank you.
Very, very interesting topic. And it's something I'm sure that every single one of us has gone through or are going through and are trying to discern how do we allow God just to really truly guide us the right way during this time. So I'd like to ask you, can you lead us out with a word of prayer, please?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are the one that loads us every day.
Yes.
With loads of benefits.
Yes.
Father, I want to thank you so much for Jesus Christ, who has exemplified to us what it means to carry his own load, but at the same time also carry the burdens of others. Father, we pray that you will enable us to follow his example of responsibility, but also solidarity.
Yes.
In this law of life that is called proportionality, may each one of us do our part but at the same time, also have a heart for those that need our help. So I pray that you will bless each one of us with the ability to keep these things in balance and in everything to be thankful. In Jesus' name, through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Pastor Joe, and to all our listeners.
Thank you, Dawn.
You're welcome. And remember, you can always text us at 954-388-8780 and have a wonderful day. Bye.